200, mostly women and children. The World Court begins its two-day hearings on a case brought by Nicaragua against Germany, accusing Berlin of facilitating Israeli genocide in Gaza through arming Tel Aviv. The Islamic Resistance in Iraq carries out new anti-Israeli operations, targeting two barracks and a base in the occupied Golan and the occupied Palestinian territories. This is news. Thanks for joining us. Israel has launched fresh airstrikes and artillery shells on Gaza, keeping the Palestinian territory in a state of catastrophe. Six civilians were killed in the regime's aerial attacks on a commercial facility south of the Nusayrat refugee camp in central Gaza. Israeli warplanes also hit a group of people in a town near the southern city of Rafah, killing at least one and injuring several others. In Gaza City, six dead bodies were recovered from under the rubble of a house that was bombed by the Israeli military. The death toll from the U.S. Israeli genocide in Gaza since October the 7th stands at nearly 33,200, most of them women and children. The genocidal campaign is now in its seventh month, despite international calls to end the bloodshed. The UN Humanitarian Coordinator for Palestine warns that the Gaza situation is simply catastrophic. Let's find out more from Mutiaba Masaba, who joins us from Deir al-Balah. Well, Muti, tell us what is going on. We understand that the attacks are obviously ongoing, but has it picked up from yesterday up till now?
Yes, actually, the Israeli occupation forces are still hitting different areas of Gaza Strip, and even over the last couple of hours, the Israeli warplanes carried out several belts of fire against the eastern part of the central area of Gaza Strip, particularly the eastern part of Deir al-Balah city. That area actually has been subjected to continuous and to heavy bombardments and attacks of the Israeli artillery shelling and the Israeli airstrikes. Dozens of the Palestinian residential buildings were destroyed, in addition to dozens of the Palestinian houses also were blown up by the Israeli occupation forces using the explosive devices in the area. Till this moment, as we speak right now, we can hear the sounds of those explosions and bombardments are still booming in that area. And the current situation is still tense in that area. Till this moment, we are witnessing more Palestinian casualties being brought to the Al-Aqsa Martyrs Hospital as a result of those continuous attacks. As a result, we have a Palestinian woman who was killed and murdered over those attacks, in addition to dozens of the Palestinian casualties. This number is highly expected to rise with the continuous IOF attacks and the attacks of the Israeli occupation forces against that area. In the meantime, when it comes to the northern part of the central area of Gaza Strip, the Israeli occupation forces also maintained their attacks against Al-Mughraga neighborhood, which is located in the northern part of Nusayrat refugee camp. As you know, more residential buildings and more houses were destroyed over the continuous and the chronic Israeli artillery shelling that is reaching that area till this moment. So apparently the central area of Gaza Strip is under the focus and the concentration of the Israeli attacks. These attacks are still underway alongside the continuous attacks of the Israeli fighter drones and the Israeli warplanes that are still hovering in the sky of the central area of Gaza Strip. This means that they are focusing their activities, their operations in the central area of Gaza Strip. When it comes to Khan Yunis city, as you know, that after the Israeli occupation forces withdrew from the entire city, massive destruction unfolded. In addition to that, more Palestinian dead bodies and corpses were discovered and extracted. Over the last couple of hours, at least 20 Palestinian corpses were discovered and evacuated to the different hospitals, even when it comes to Al-Aqsa Martyrs Hospital here in Deir al-Balah city or the Gaza European Hospital in the southern part of Khan Yunis city. So even according to multiple eyewitnesses in Khan Yunis city, that the vast majority of the residential buildings were completely or partially destroyed, in addition to the infrastructure that was completely devastated.
That's the Muti Abu Musaba correspondent there from Deir al-Balah. Thank you, Muti. Moving on, an official of Hamas resistance movement says no progress has been made at Gaza ceasefire talks that are being held in Egypt. The Palestinian official blames the Israeli delegation, saying that there have been no changes in the regime's stance and therefore no progress was made. The humanitarian situation in the war-ravaged Strip is the main subject of the talks. Hamas demands that the invading Israeli forces leave the Strip and let Gazans return to their homes. The new round of talks are being held at the Egyptian capital Cairo, with delegations from Israel, Gaza, Qatar, and the United States participating in the negotiations. The International Court of Justice has started hearings on Nicaragua's genocide case against Germany for supporting Israel. Nicaragua has accused Germany of facilitating the commission of genocide against Palestinians by supporting Israel's war on Gaza. It hopes that the case, if won, would suspend Germany's military assistance to the regime. The court will likely take weeks to deliver its decision. Germany is dealing with a similar situation domestically as well. Hundreds of German civil servants have called on their government to cease weapon deliveries to the Israeli government or to Israel immediately. While new clashes have erupted between Israeli occupation forces and Palestinian resistance forces in the occupied West Bank, where a regime's bulldozer was exploded, our correspondent in Ramallah, Mona Kandil, has more details.
These clashes are severe as the Palestinian resistance groups released videos of an Israeli military bulldozer burning. The Palestinian resistance group said that their fighters succeeded to detonate explosive devices into Israeli bulldozers and a number of vehicles that raided Balata refugee camp in Nablus, and at least one bulldozer catched fire and was burning. The Israeli troops had also raided several areas of Al-Khalil, arresting at least 25 Palestinians. A number of them are Palestinian minors. And according to Palestinian Commission of Prisoners Affairs, the number of those who had been detained since the 7th of October here in the occupied West Bank is over 8,100 Palestinians, despite the fact that the Israelis continue to arrest at least dozens every day across the occupied West Bank, despite the fact that the Israelis had turned literally the occupied West Bank into a big jail, separating cities and areas from each other. But the Palestinian resistance groups are still saying that their fighters are engaged in several exchanges of fire with the Israeli forces.
The Islamic resistance in Iraq says it has targeted three Israeli military sites in the occupied territories in response to the regime's massacres of Palestinians in the Gaza Strip. The resistance group announced that it had struck an Israeli barracks in the occupied Syrian Golan Heights using a drone. The group added that it had also targeted another barracks as well as a military base in the occupied Palestinian territories. The resistance group underlined that it will continue to target Israeli positions and interests in solidarity with Gazans, who have been under incessant Israeli attacks for more than 6 months. In recent months, the Islamic resistance in Iraq has carried out a series of attacks against Israeli targets. It has also hit U.S. military bases in Iraq and neighboring Syria, in retaliation for Washington's support for the Israeli genocide in Gaza. The Lebanese resistance movement Hezbollah and the Israeli military continue to exchange fire along Lebanon's southern border as tensions remain high amid Israel's war on the besieged Gaza Strip. Now Lebanese media say that at least three civilians have been killed and several others injured in the latest Israeli strikes. Earlier, our correspondent in southern Lebanon, Maryam Saleh, gave us more details.
We don't have any details concerning the civilian casualties yet. We're still waiting to see whether we do have a big number, or you said three. It's not clear so far how many civilians exactly, and from which, if they are children, if there are any women and so on. This is something we're waiting to see. We still saw that there was a lot of heavy shelling on the town of Farkila. Farkila is a bordering town. It had its share of really heavy shelling yesterday and destruction. So the Israelis basically are not just only targeting areas that are further off, trying to kill, trying to retaliate for the blows that are getting from the resistance in Lebanon, but they are also trying to destroy as much as they can in the bordering towns of Farkila and Khiam and Ayta Shab, for example, and Ayta Rud. Hezbollah, of course, has dealt a heavy blow to the Israelis on several regards. They used the Burkhan rockets extensively yesterday and the day before against not only the post, the military devices, and not only use of drones as well. They're also using it against the Israeli military personnel. Even when they try to move at night, Hezbollah has been able to monitor and detect those movements. That seems to be clear from the footage that we're getting from Hezbollah. We're also seeing how the Burkhan rocket is causing extensive destruction to the devices, to the posts of the Israelis. That is also something that the Israelis are talking about. It's extremely costly.
Turkish police have detained dozens of protesters demanding an end to the country's trade ties with Israel. Footage has gone viral of Turkish riot police violently forcing protesters into vans in Istanbul. Turkish activists said protesters were also tortured. In public, President Recep Tayyip Erdogan has been severely critical of Israel, even comparing Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu to Adolf Hitler. Turkey, however, continues to export a whole range of products to Israel, including explosives, aircraft parts, and weapons and ammunition. On the streets, tens of thousands of Turks have been holding anti-Israel rallies during the genocide in Gaza. Quds Day rallies and marches have been held in cities across Canada. Participants in the rallies call for immediate end to Israel's genocide in the Gaza Strip. Our correspondent Camila Escalante has more from Toronto.
Thousands came together for the annual International Quds Day March in the Canadian city of Toronto to show their solidarity with the Palestinian people, especially those in the besieged Gaza Strip. Palestinian solidarity organizations and communities rallied across from the U.S. consulate, calling on Ottawa and Washington to act urgently to end the Israeli terror campaign and genocide and try to save as many lives as possible.
This is one of the biggest Al-Quds Day commemorations in Canada every year. And this year it's especially important because people are motivated to come out in large numbers to bring an end to this genocide that's taking place in Gaza and underline their commitment to see a free Palestine from the river to the sea and a free Al-Quds, a free Jerusalem, free from Zionism and occupation.
Millions around the world are marching yesterday, today and tomorrow, all week. Thousands of cities and towns across the globe are making Al-Quds Day an international day, a call for justice and freedom, particularly for the Palestinian people as they are facing genocide and war crimes in Gaza.
The city has continued its heavy policing of pro-Palestinian demonstrations. Just 1 week ago, several participants were injured and six others were arrested in the annual Land Day commemoration by the Toronto police, who were captured on camera using excessive force.
So last week, people must have seen the videos by now, but the police completely attacked a peaceful rally, and there was horses involved, and this is what the police do. They're on the side of the Zionists, they terrorize people. You know, a protest, a simple, peaceful protest, you're not allowed. I mean, this is another example of the Palestine exception. That protest is good, it's a liberal, you know, it's a sign of democracy, except when you're talking about Palestine. You can't do that.
Participants also use Quds Day to condemn a recent deadly attack by the Israeli regime on Iran's consulate building in Syria's capital, Damascus.
Well, Iran has been subjugated to all forms of aggression at the hands of the Zionist regimes and their backers. But the last crime that Israel have done in destroying the Iranian embassy in Damascus, that is a zero tolerance. Iran will respond, and I think that Iran is being called upon by the people to respond against this Israeli aggression.
As the targeted killing of civilians and the starvation campaign continue, a temporary resident visa program announced by the administration in Ottawa 3 months ago has failed to bring to Canada any Palestinian relatives of Canadians from Gaza. Against that backdrop, families and activists are pressuring for a real arms embargo on Israel. Camila Escalante, Toronto.
And that is it for World News. Bye-bye for now.
are with you. What about you? IRIB English Radio.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints.
همه با وجود قده سرطانی اسرائیل مخالفیم.
All of us are opposed to the cancerous tumor Israel.
وجه مشترک همه وحدت امت اسلامی.
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all Islamic denominations have in common.
This is the part of the speech delivered on June 23, 2015 by Ayatollah Khamenei, the leader of the Islamic Revolution, in a meeting with government officials on the occasion of the month of Ramadan. Another essential task is to confront unnecessary imports and smuggling in a serious way. Attending to small and medium-sized production workshops is another essential task. I stressed the necessity of this matter in the beginning of the year as well. Reviewing monetary policies and the activities of the banking system of the country, I also spoke about this matter in the beginning of the year. Reviewing monetary policies and the activities of the banking system of the country, I also spoke about this matter in the beginning of the year, is another important task. Experts and sympathetic personalities have certain things to say in this regard, and their opinions should be heard and receive attention. These are tasks that we should carry out. Of course, the main condition for achieving all these things is harmony and unanimity, and the solidarity that the Honorable President touched on.
دنیای اسلام یک نسخه امروز دارد و اون اتحاد.
The world of Islam has one single prescription today, and that is unity. This prescription exists in all Islamic countries. Nations should be united.
The administration should be assisted. Officials should be assisted because they are in the middle of the arena. Unnecessary opposition and controversy should be avoided. Causing controversy, no matter who does so, is unacceptable and inappropriate. Everyone should help so that, God willing, this great movement will produce results. This was what we wanted to say on the issue of the economy. I believe that we can accomplish great feats in the area of the economy. We can hope that by Allah's favor, we will pass through this difficult road. On the nuclear issue, I will first raise three introductory points, and then I will discuss certain matters in this regard. The first point is that what I say in this meeting and in other public meetings is exactly the same things that I say to officials, the Honorable President, and others in private meetings. Some people say that the red lines that have been officially announced are sidelined in private meetings. This is a false and untrue statement, and it is a propaganda tool that they use. We have witnessed and are witnessing this. What we say to you in this meeting or in other public meetings is exactly the same things that we discuss with our friends in the administration and with the negotiating team. Our statements in both meetings are the same.
Allah, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for all the things that you've done for me through all my years. I've been lost. You guided me from all the ways that were wrong.
estamos de regreso para seguir las conversaciones que hemos tenido.
We are now back to continue the conversation we had to learn about the Palestinian diaspora in Chile. Today I invite you to talk with Valentina Salvador Huagui, a Chilean doctor of Palestinian origin, who has been working recently since the beginning of the genocide in Gaza with a group of doctors to try to help. Let's learn a little bit more about Valentina through the following video.
Un poco más sobre Valentina.
Valentina Salvador es nieta de palestinos.
Valentina Salvador is the granddaughter of Palestinians. She studied medicine and is a specialist in surgeries for oncological diseases. She learned the love of cooking from her grandmother and grew up with recipes that she still continues to prepare and that connect her with the cultural traditions of her homeland. In 2017, she traveled to Palestine as part of a program that brought together the diaspora from different continents. She returned with the memory of a kind, happy and welcoming people who enjoyed life the simplicity despite the tensions of the occupation, the wall, and the many shortcomings. As part of the Doctors' Society of Palestine, where some 300 specialists participate, they began to pressure scientific societies to play a more active role and denounce the genocide. The events, however, have led them to continue their work raising funds to send medical supplies through the Chilean embassy in Egypt. Valentina believes that not only is the lack of food and water serious, the treatments that were left unfinished, the lack of vaccines and the lack of medical care in short are also other slow and silent ways of exterminating the Palestinian nation.
De exterminar al pueblo palestino.
Hola Valentina, muchas gracias por haber aceptado esta.
Hello Valentina, thank you very much for accepting our invitation. You are third generation. On what date and for what reasons do your parents migrated here?
Acerca de la llegada de tus padres.
I'm sorry, your grandparents.
De mis abuelos, sí. Daniel, muchas gracias por la invitación. Un honor.
Well, of course, my grandparents. Daniel, thank you very much for the invitation. It is an honor to be here representing the Doctors of Palestine. Look, my family on both sides come more or less before the Nakba. It was mainly as a result of the persecutions by the Ottoman Empire. For example, my family name is Salvador. My grandfather arrived in Chile around 1910. Several of his children were born in Betlalal, but my grandfather was born here in Chile, in the town of Catamu, where they settled upon their arrival in Chile. On the other hand, in depth, my grandfather's wife, Victoria Issa, came to Chile directly from Palestine. Around 1929-1930, my grandfather's father arrived here with them, and from there, in the bottom line, the family has settled in this land.
Aquí hay dos eventos que es importante destacar.
Here there are two events that are important to highlight. It was around the First World War that the Palestinians arrived. Turkish Ottoman Empire decided for the first time to force the inhabitants to defend the empire in any possible wars that might arise. And they began, for the first time, to recruit the firstborn children, the eldest of each family. And that makes many Christians and also Jews send their children out of Palestine to avoid taking them to the war. In the case of the grandmother, she surely came because of the great general strike of the 29th, where the colonization process had already begun, and we were at the gates of the Nakba, but the Nakba was already planned. This is very interesting because this also generates surely the same thing that happened in your family. A generational gap. The children of that do not have much of a relationship with Palestine. They do not pass on the language, for example. And it is always the third generation that recovers Palestinianity. What was that process like? What was it that set it off? And what are you up to today?
¿Qué fue lo que lo detonó y en qué estás hoy día?
Mira, tal cual como tú dices.
Look, just like you say, it happens to me also. Well, obviously, in my parents' house, they spoke an Arabic language. And being born in Chile, they kind of had to recover everything because in Chile, things were a little different. It's just like you say, they kind of experienced Palestine in the house.
Cosa que para nosotros fue diferente.
Something that was different for us. I think I get emotional because of the topic, sorry. But I think I have returned to it. I come from a school with a lot of social sense, a lot of politics. I don't think I had ever questioned it, like where it comes from. but yes, I think it was my dad who instilled it into me. Regardless of the fact that I seldom spoke, there was always these Palestinian things in my house. Always, always. Everything had to do with it. Food, traditions. And I think this provoked my sense of curiosity to investigate what this Palestinian thing they were talking about is. So I started to investigate, to learn from history. When people spoke to me, I like to have information and tell them what this is, what Palestine is, what is happening, because they asked me at school. Deep down, there was an important Palestinian group that would talk about the issue of Palestine, and sometimes I felt like I had to participate in such arguments. The Palestinian issue always resonated in my head. It's good, it catches my attention, because I'm the most Palestinian-like person in my generation.
In fact, you are the first to travel to Palestine.
Exactly. In 2017, I said that I really have to go. I have to see what happens. And in addition to being the most beautiful trip of my life, at the same time, it is also a very powerful trip. Encountering this reality of injustice and encountering this reality of their everyday lives are really heartbreaking. And it is sad because they are very good people, a good nation, but in the end, they are having a hard time on a daily basis. And they are used to it. They have normalized this. I have friends who have instilled resistance into their lives. They don't have the possibility of being seen. I have a group of friends who are actually marathoners called Right to Movement. And they were in Chile here recently. And the truth is that I kind of see in them a hope of getting out of this. But in the end, there is no great help for them to achieve this hope.
There's a question that I always ask here because not many people understand it. When I took my first trip, I had a very special feeling, and I want to know if you felt the same thing and how you experienced it, because here you were actually returning to a place where you have never been to.
Yes, it's very strange.
Three different facets of the Zionist project. First, some Israeli citizens are enjoying watching the genocide from a hill in the occupied territories and cheering their army doing what the Nazis did with them. It is as if it were a film made in Hollywood. Second, we see an Israeli project, a real estate project to be located in the Gaza Strip, a coastal area oriented towards the north and with tourist potential, highly desired by Western imperialists. Third, we see images of the Nakba and all the destruction and this whole plan known as the Plan Dalet to expel about 700,000 Palestinians, destroying 500 villages, and the life, history, and geography of those who had lived in this territory for centuries. Well, let's see the story on the maps to see the evolution of this, to see if, indeed, as Finkelstein said, what happened on October 7th justifies what came afterwards. Does what has happened in the last 75 years justify the complete dismantling of a fascist and neo-colonial regime like that of Israel? This is Palestine at the beginning of the 20th century, where Jews, Christians, Muslims, and atheists lived together without any problem and in absolute peace and brotherhood, with a proportion of the Jewish population close to 5%. Shortly after, in the first Zionist Congress in Basel, Switzerland in 1897, Theodor Herzl, recognized as the father of contemporary Zionism, presented his project called the Jewish State to form a Jewish national home in Palestine. Of course, the lobby carried out throughout the West, and with the main powers of the time allowing them to achieve in 1917 the Balfour Declaration, known as the formal beginning of the Palestinian tragedy. Great Britain, the current England, without having any right to do so, committed themselves to the Zionist organization and to give Palestine a group of foreigners coming from all over the world. This declaration was put into practice by an illegal immigrant that sought to change things on the ground and change the proportion of the population. In 1947, the population of Jewish religion was about 30%, but above religion, the Zionist population came in, but not only as refugees seeking support, but to start the programs of Tsarist Russia and also the Nazi Holocaust. They came to usurp everything. They made the newly born United Nations, which had been created from the failure of the Society of Nations, approve the partitions of Palestine, an organization that was established to protect the right of self-determination of the people, approve the partition of Palestine. And guess who were not invited to the meeting? The Palestinians. That is, in complete absence of the main owners of the land, they gave 55% of historical Palestine to the Zionist organization, and 44% divided into three unconnected zones to the Palestinians. Clearly, there was no possibility that either of these two states would be consolidated as they were intended. Obviously, the Palestinians rejected, but Zionism also rejected it and advanced in the war of 1948 until it occupied 78% of historical Palestine in 1980. What we know today as occupied territory remained in the hands of Jordan and Egypt, but this lasted about 20 years until the war of 1967, where Israel made use of its great military power and its always strong support from the Western powers, and mainly from the United States, from Europe and Germany, tried to pay the blame for the Nazi Holocaust with Palestinian blood. They advanced on the entire territories and on the heights of the Syrian Golan and a strip of Lebanese territories that remained occupied for more than two decades. Today, after years of extermination, after years of a genocidal policy on the parts of Israel with the Oslo Agreement, the Palestinian territories are reduced to a 15%, and also in the form of small bastustans without connections to each other. In such a way, they not only intend to drown the Palestinian population, but also the Palestinian economy. Now they continue encouraging or forcing in every possible way the Palestinian population to leave the place. But we Palestinians have resisted stubbornly. We have stayed on the lands to which we belong, and we have no intention of abandoning this land to make way for the continuity of the neocolonial Zionist project. And that is why we today face an ongoing genocide in Gaza, because the leaders of the Zionist project have understood that the foreigners can never defeat those who have remained in this land forever. I offer you the floor. We have time for two questions, please.
Tiempo para dos preguntas, por favor.
Un saludo. Mi nombre es Jorge Avedrapo, profesor.
Greetings, my name is Jorge Avedrapo. Here is my question. It is true that the Zionists considered several options, territorial options, to carry out their projects among some Latin American countries. I mean, finally, what could happen in the future at a global level if the advance of Israel's colonial project is not stopped?
Efectivamente, Jorge, entre el primero y el cuarto congreso sionista.
Indeed, Jorge, between the first and the fourth Zionist congresses, most of them held in Basel, Switzerland, several alternatives were put into discussion, including Uganda and Chilean-Argentine Patagonia. The underlying theme was that there was no excuse that could be used to expel the inhabitants of these territories, and therefore they resorted to the myths of the biblical promise and the chosen people to sustain a colonial project like Zionism. And that is why Palestine ended up being chosen. Furthermore, if one looks at this as a projection not only of a Palestinian issue, because the problem is not only here. This is a problem of the global North-South confrontation, and therefore what happens in Palestine will have an intimate relationship with what happens in the Western Sahara, with what happens in other parts of the world, in Gualmapo, in our country, where the hegemonic classes, world imperialism, and transnational imperialism must do everything possible to protect the interests they harvest through occupying every inch of this territory and controlling every inch of the market and effectively appropriating any common property or natural resources. This strategy exists in the world. Therefore, from my humble perspective, the only possibility of reaching a just solution in Palestine is the overcoming of capitalism on a global scale.
Es la superación del capitalismo a escala global.
Hola, mi nombre es Carlota.
I am Carolina Espina. I am president of the Luis Emilio Recovery Collection and Research Center in Zeiler. My question is, why is the word apartheid used to refer to the Israeli policy against Palestine?
El apartheid es un concepto que se utiliza.
Apartheid is a concept that is used to refer to states or societies where there are two different systems inside them. For example, in South African apartheid, where within the same country, South Africa, there was a system for whites and a system for people of African descent. This system is seen today in Palestine and also in Israel, because not only within Israel there are first and second category citizens and different systems for those who are historically Palestinian and for Israeli citizens, but things are also tough for those who have recently arrived there and have just adopted Israeli citizenship. That's because they are Zionists and have many more rights than the Palestinians who have lived in Israel since before their birth. In addition, what we are seeing today in Gaza and the West Bank is a situation where the Israelis and the occupation, the illegal occupying power, the illegal Israeli settlers have all the rights, but the Palestinians have none. That is why the word apartheid was coined, and that is why it has been expanding the possibility of everyone recognizing the Israeli occupation as an apartheid system. We must never forget that in 1974, the United Nations General Assembly decreed that Zionism was a form of racism, homologously comparable to South African apartheid. This is while, due to the changes in the correlation of forces and North American and European pressure, this resolution was annulled several decades later. But this has not annulled the spirit and essence of Zionism, that in all these years, nothing has changed.
I
have mentioned it in other programs, and I reiterate it today with more force than ever. Palestine, in its 5,000 years of history, has lived only 120 years of peace. The Palestinian people consisted of an ethnic strain absolutely intercultural, composed of Jews, Christians, Muslims, atheists, belonging to diverse peoples who have settled in Palestine at some point in history. They have been there since before the first invaders arrived, and they will surely be there after the last ones leave. Today, thousands of supposed Israeli citizens have abandoned Israel because they no longer feel safe among the Palestinians. The Palestinian nation sink their legs and roots into the ground of their homeland, where they are born, grow, and die. That's because Palestine is their land. I invite you to watch this program next week to learn more about the concept of genocide in Gaza. Don't miss the next episode of A Window to Palestine.
En el próximo capítulo de Ventana a Palestina.
Her voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran.
Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Ya ayyuhal muzammil qum al-layla illa qalila nisfahu aw inqus minhu qalila aw zid 'alayhi wa rattilil qur'ana tartila.
Qad 'awtuka rabbi bi qur'ani jannibni harrani.
Let's recite the Qur'an.
Najaytuka arju ghufrana ya man yunjina ihsana.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجه.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. Respected brothers and sisters, dear listeners from all over the world listening to IRIB English Radio right now, welcome to Let's Recite the Quran Kareem in the holy month of Ramadan, trying to learn how to read the Quran beautifully, fluently, with tajweed rules. We really welcome you all. We have brothers Fawad Haider, Hassan Nasrullah, and Hussein Ruhullah, and Hussein Akbari with us today in this session. I really, really welcome. Salam Hussein, how are you?
Alhamdulillah, sir. How are you?
Alhamdulillah. And Hussein, next Hussein, two Hussein we have today. Hussein, how are you?
I'm fine.
Alhamdulillah. So, Hassan, how is it going?
Well.
Alhamdulillah. For what?
Fine, sir.
Alhamdulillah. So, everyone is great and energetic. Hope you are ready, brothers and sisters. Let's get started. Today, we will be talking about Ayah 77 and one more Ayah, 78. Two verses from Surah Al-A'raf on page
160.
So everyone, turn to page 160. Let's listen to the recitation of these two verses from Surah Al-A'raf. Then we will, inshallah, talk about them.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. فَعَقَرُوا النَّاقَةَ وَعَتَوْا عَنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّهِمْ وقالوا يا صالح ائتنا بما تعدنا إن كنت من المرسلين فأخذتهم الرجفة فأصبحوا في دارهم جاثمين.
Nice recitation, mashallah, mashallah. Let me read it once. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم فعقروا الناقة وعتوا عن أمر ربهم وقالوا يا صالح ائتنا بما تعدنا إن كنت من المرسلين فأخذتهم الرجفة فأصبحوا في دارهم جاثمين. So these two verses talking about the people of Prophet which Prophet?
Salih
alayhi salam. Yes?
Yes.
So, Prophet Salih alayhi salam was sent to the people who were called Thamud. Yes? وَإِلَىٰ ثَمُودَ أَخَاهُمْ صَالِحًا. Yeah? Prophet Salih alayhi salam asked the people to worship Allah Almighty. He guided them. He talked to them. But they didn't accept him. Yes? Not all the people. Some of the people accepted him. Some of the people
didn't.
So they asked him for a miracle, and the miracle was shown by the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Still,
what was the miracle?
What was the miracle, guys?
The camel.
About the camel, yes. So the miracle was that هَذِهِ نَاقَةُ اللَّهِ لَكُمْ آيَةٌ. In the previous verses, we learned that he was asked to bring out a camel, which was at the same time pregnant
from the mountain.
Okay? At once, Prophet Salih had to show that a miracle, show that a camel is coming out from the heart of the mountain, from the mountain. All right, coming out. Okay, he had shown this to the people. Some people still didn't believe in him. So in these two verses, Allah Almighty talks about what happened today. So I want Hussein to read this ayah once, the first ayah. Let's see, then we'll explain the tajweed points here.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم فعقروا الناقة وعتوا عن أمر ربهم وقالوا يا صالح ائتنا بما تعدنا إن كنت من المرسلين.
أحسن. Thank you so much. So guys, we'll continue this story. فعقروا فعقروا. There are heavy letters and light letters. Could you explain them? Fawad? What are the heavy letters in this word? And what are the light letters? How you pronounce them?
Sir, so light letters, they kind of have a sound. For example, fa.
Fa is a fa. Light letter. Good.
And for example, qaf.
Qaf.
It has an aw sound. Qaf.
Qa is.
Yeah, so the letters with an A sound are considered heavy letters.
Heavy letters. What do you mean an A sound and an A sound? You must mean like when you pronounce them.
Yeah, when
like
you
the
pronounce
the heavy letters,
them.
You pronounce them with an A sound.
Yes.
Open your mouth up and down. Yes?
Yes.
Like vertically. And the letters which are meant to be light letters, they are pronounced with an A sound. You open your mouth horizontally. Yes? A, fa, a. But when you reach to the qa, you make another sound. Fa-a-qa. Look, it changes. Fa-a-qa-ru, fa-a-qa-a-a-a. It changes automatically. So that's the correct way of pronunciation. Thank you for what? Fa-a-qa-ru. An-naqata. How do you read it, Hussein? Fa'aqaru an-naqata. How do you read it?
Fa'aqaru an-naqata.
Ahsan. Look at him, guys. He stretched the sound of noon, didn't he?
Yes.
Fa'aqaru an-naqata.
Yes.
Yeah. That is the correct way to read it. Yes?
Yes.
It is called?
Idgham.
Idgham. You connect. Idgham has meaning of merging. It has connecting, merging,
yes.
Meaning, or joining, okay? So it's a special rule as well, but it's applied whenever you join the letters as well. So, فَعَقَرُوا النَّاقَةَ. Make sure you extend the sound of the noon. وَعَتَوْ عَنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّهِمْ. رَ also has a heavy sound. رَبِّهِمْ.
قرآني في قلبي دوما يغمرني من فيض ضياء آيات المولى.
IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Xavier International Schools presents
والكون الواسع في صدري أحضنه غرضا.
Let's recite the Quran.
وقالوا قالوا يا صالح يا صالح ائتنا or ائتنا. So how do you read it? يا صالح ائتنا.
Yes. صالحتنا.
صالحتنا. There is a Hamzatul Wasl, ignore it, right?
Yes.
So the rule is, whenever Hamzatul Wasl appears in the middle, yes, you join the letter before Hamzatul Wasl and the letter after Hamzatul Wasl. Basically, you
skip
Hamzatul Wasl. But whenever it is in the beginning of the word, you have to read it. Like if you do not read the word قال يا صالح, you start from ائتنا. You have to read the word. They have the last itina or itina to make it softer. So bima ta'iduna in kunta. What is this rule called?
Ikhfa.
You hide the sound of noon. In kunta min al-mursaleen. So
I have a question.
Yeah.
Why do we extend like the last word of the ayah? For example, Mursaleen.
Well, thank you for a nice question. We have a type of mad called Maddul Arid Lissukun. Okay? Which says whenever you end a word and it ends with a sukun sign on the last letter. Yes? And before that last letter, you have mad letters. A or E or U you have. So you extend it. Yeah? To beautify the word. For example, Mursaleen. When you stop, Noon is the second letter. Before Noon, you have the letter Ya, which is a mad letter. That way, you extend it. Or, Jathimeen. Look at the previous word. Kafirun. Yeah? Thank you for a nice question. So, that is the story of Prophet Salih alayhi salam and his people. Now, Allah Almighty sends them the Azab. Can you read it? Hussein, read it.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم فأخذتهم الرجفة فأصبحوا في دارهم جاثمين
أحسنتم. So the earthquake seized them and they lay lifeless, prostrate in their homes. When they were in some narrations, we have like the people were sleeping in their sleep, an earthquake came and killed all of them. Alright? Yeah. So, فَأَخَذَتْهُمُ الرَّجْفَةُ. Join the words. هُمُ الرَّجْفَةُ. رَجْفَةُ. What is that?
قَلْقَلَ.
قَلْقَلَ. Echo the sound. Good job. فَأَصْبَحُوا فِي دَارِهِمْ جَاثِمِينَ. Not a special rule. Only the pronunciations of ha, صاد, and ha, and fa. Yep. So, time to recite these two verses. I will be reciting, inshallah. Make sure you listen and repeat. Ready, everyone?
Yes.
Yes.
Right, let's go. Brothers and sisters, dear listeners, you practice with us as well, inshallah.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
فعقروا الناقة وعتوا عن أمر ربهم وقالوا يا صالح ائتنا بما تعدنا
فعقروا الناقة وعتوا عن أمر ربهم وقالوا يا صالح ائتنا بما تعدنا
وقالوا يا صالح ائتنا بما تعدنا إن كنت من المرسلين
وقالوا يا صالح ائتنا بما تعدنا إن كنت من المرسلين
فأخذتهم الرجفة فأصبحوا في دارهم جاثمين
فأخذتهم الرجفة فأصبحوا في دارهم جاثمين
صدق الله العلي العظيم
صدق الله العلي العظيم
أحسنتم. Thank you so much. Allah bless you. Thank you so much, brothers and sisters, dear listeners, for being with us in this session. That's all from us for today. See you in the next session. Stay with IRB English Radio. Hassan Hussein, Fawad, and the next Hussein Akbari. Thank you so much for being with us in this session. Allah bless you. See you in the next session. So, thanks to IRB English Radio as well and Sevier International School too. That's all from us for today. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen wa sallallahu ala Muhammadi wa alihi al-tahirin.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajil farajahum.
Let's Recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International School.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن
Palestine Declassified.
Hello, I'm Chris Williamson. This is Palestine Declassified. We're the only weekly show that's dedicated to investigating and exposing the Israeli regime's global war against solidarity with the illegally occupied people of Palestine. In today's show, we'll be asking why the Zionist lobby and US warmongers are so exercised by who owns TikTok. Latif Abu Chakra has discovered some surprising information about who TikTok has appointed to influential positions within the company, and she's filed this report.
A combination of US warmongers and Israel lobbyists are pushing the idea that because TikTok is owned by a Chinese company, it must be spying on and manipulating young people into, amongst other supposedly deplorable things, supporting Palestinians against genocidal Zionism. Well, TikTok, rather than being a hub of Chinese espionage, seems to be packed to the rafters with former US intelligence and NATO employees. Content policy lead for TikTok Canada, Alexander Corbeil, is simultaneously the vice president of the NATO Association of Canada. Aiche Kochak spent 3 years at NATO before becoming global product policy manager at the company at TikTok. Feature policy manager Greg Anderson worked on psychological operations for NATO until 2019. Bo Pateson has been working as a threat analyst for TikTok's Trust and Safety Division. Previously, Pateson was a targeting analyst for the CIA. Victoria Makalov previously worked for the Department of Homeland Security and for the White House. She now works on trust and safety at TikTok. There are many more. The latest escalation on TikTok began in the early stages of Israel's Gaza genocide, when a recording of Jonathan Greenblatt, head of the lobby group and spy agency ADL, was leaked. In it, he lamented what he called the Gen Z and TikTok problems. This was a clear signal that the genocide lobby was joining the anti-TikTok campaign. Now the US Congress has issued a warning that TikTok must be purchased by a US company within 6 months or be banned from the country. Pro-Israel former Trump official Steve Mnuchin is gathering investors under his umbrella to buy TikTok. It is unclear if the investors will include his close friend Yossi Cohen, former director of Mossad, whom Mnuchin previously asked to join his other investment fund for Arab states. If the US was concerned about espionage against it and the protection of data, surely Larry Ellison's Oracle would not store key classified Defense Department data. Ellison did.